To corrupt communication, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we seal it unto the day of redemption. I thank God the Holy Spirit is the seal. Glory to God. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, that's the opposite of being hard hearted, isn't it? Tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Then we drop down into the 5th chapter. There will be just a moment. Praise the Lord. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as the rule but as God. Redeeming the time, and I think you look at the marginal reference there, you find that buying up your opportunity. Redeeming the time, or buying up your opportunity, for the day is evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not drink with wine, as it said, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always to, in all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Shall we not all stand just for a moment, please? I'm going to ask Brother Weeks, to come and lead us to the throne of grace. God bless Brother Weeks.
Our Father in heaven, thy word, O Lord, is higher than anything in this world. We thank you for it this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to be in a country, a land, and Lord, even in a place where we can hear the whole truth of God. We ask you now to bless your word, anoint thy servant, you might speak as the mouthpiece of God. And Lord, our ears, our minds, our hearts to receive his grafted word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. 26th chapter of Proverbs, we find the scripture that says, a word that is fit to spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I used to wonder just what that meant. Maybe I don't have all the answer yet. But one day I was studying the typology of the different metals as mentioned in the Bible, and I learned that gold is a type of deity in manifestation. I also learned that silver is a type of redemption. So, word that is fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. We redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I feel like that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. And I feel that the picture there of silver is our bodies, our tongues, our mouths. God said, I'll live in them and I'll walk in them. I'll be their God and they shall be my sons and daughters. Glory to God. Then the gold, apples of gold, a word fitly spoken, apples of gold, words that are fitly spoken, are ordained, anointed, and they are God.
Therefore, they're apples of gold. And I've been studying ever since I was told yesterday that I should bring a short message this morning. That makes me think. Actually, I went home yesterday. Well, I said, Daddy, you better rest in the morning and then go to the evening service. I said, Mother, they have me appointed to bring a short message 20 minutes in the morning. She said, can you preach a sermon in 20 minutes? I said, well, I'll have to. She said, well, I haven't heard you do it lately. And I guess you think about the last meeting of preach where every night I preach from an hour and 15 to an hour and a half. Praise the Lord. But I feel like that there can be, if we can get it said, there can be a lot of things said in 20 minutes. Praise the Lord. And I began to study about the way, the power of words. And I just thought this, and seeing that a comparison came to mind like this. I have a Newport automobile, and they tell me, I believe, that it has 112 horsepower. That's a lot of horse. And you can put those horses, that horsepower, you can put to good use, keep that car on the road, and use that, and it's a blessing. But when you use it wrongfully, and you give it too much power, and you don't control it, you'll kill it. Now, words are, you might say, like, you take the airplane, same thing, though the railroad train, the same thing. Praise the Lord. They're means of travel. They are means of transportation. And they'll take you to your destination if they're handled right. What I mean, the way you want to go in this world, but if they're not handled right, they'll take you to this destination. A lot of people don't want to go where they go. Amen. And so it is with words. Words are powerful. They're mighty. And they're machines, or they're vehicles. Must say they're automobiles. To convey the thoughts of one person to another. And when they're used properly, they can be elevated. And they can lead us beside the still waters and into green pastures. But when they use wrongfully, they can lead us in the other direction. And remember that a word that is fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I was praying a while back over some matters and thinking about how I'd like to just let people know how I felt about some things and that I wanted my will and my will put over. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, happy is the man or the person that can disagree and not be disagreeable. That can disagree and also that can contend and not be contentious. And I was reading this morning in Proverbs. If I can find that right there, I think in the 26th chapter of the Proverbs, I'm reading the scripture there, and it says, as old are to burning coals, and with the fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So is a contentious man, and he said the words of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. And again I read that as wood is to fire, or where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Likewise, where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Glory to God. And I just want to say this morning, glory to God, that when we utter words, we should be very careful. We should weigh our words. I remember way back yonder, some 40 years ago, I was ordained in the Assemblies of God. in 1915, the first day of January, about 2 o'clock in the morning. And shortly after that, God revealed the New Birth Doctrine, the baptism of Jesus saying, baptism and the one true God. Well, I accepted that. And after I accepted it, they made an issue of it. And in fact, in the convents of St. Louis, after that, they just sent us down. We had the best God like they wanted to. And I just sent my papers in. And I headquartered a letter. And I just told them exactly what I thought. And I thought I had to answer everything. I remember what Brother Sayers said to General Moore the other night. He said that somebody asked him a question. Well, he says, I've only been preaching 30 years. I can't give you the answer, but you ask somebody to preach about 18 months, they can. And I just thought that I had to answer to everything. But Brother West, the secretary, not D.L., and he wrote me a letter and he said, now, we regret that you've taken this action, you've done this. Well, I still believe I was right in what I did because I could not subscribe to the thing they wanted me to do. But I was wrong in some things I said in that letter. And he told me, he said, I read in your letter, and he said, I see there that there is a spirit of division in your heart. As many others, letters that I read, I find that as many others have, you have a spirit of division in your heart. I feel like maybe that if all of our brethren, me and the bunch, have done what we could and used the right words at the right time, let our words have been, whether it got apples of gold and pictures of silver, we might possibly have stayed off and in the end have saved the division there. But as it is, the thing that die was cast because some of us were hasty and we said things that we shouldn't have said that towards, instead of trying to put the fire out, we added fuel to the fire. And beloved, this morning I want to say, Lord, it does not that I learned after about 30, took me about nearly 40 years to learn it, that I have to be careful and weigh my words before I speak. Because when a word is spoken, the potential of that word is a dying task. You can't recall it to me after forgiveness, but you'll never retrieve or stop a lot of wrong or right that those words will do. I remember hearing a minister one time in the bank we had said about some woman had to set up trouble and contention and strife in the church. And by and by she got into conviction. She went to the pastor and she asked him to forgive her and said, I'll do anything you say to me that I can do to right the wrong that I've done. The money says, you know, my house, get me a caterpillar. Get that caterpillar, go down, and he ripped that open. Go to the man and say, you go up on the top of that house there, that church, and the wind was going pretty hard, and you throw those feathers out into the air. He did that. He said, they said, now, sister, you pick up every one of those feathers and put it back into that caterpillar. So it says, what a what? She looked at him and she said, that's impossible, I couldn't do it. Well, he said, it's impossible for you to make right all the wrong that will be done with what you said and done. Amen. So, beloved brethren and sisters, delegates, ministers, and saints in this country, let's remember, through the thought, that there's people here, there's saints here. And in our talk, in our discussions on the floor of this conference, Lord God, let's remember that the words we speak are going to be weighed. And I know this. I have heard made in discussions of resolutions and things like that on the floor of the conference, I've heard things said that was not only becoming to a minister, but an attention, but they were unbecoming to a gentleman. And I contend this, that if I in my heart deliberately say things that is going to hurt the other man, when I disregard the other person's feelings, and I utter words with God's fingers in them, then I'm not much of a gentleman, but that's a person. A person that will deliberately offend or hurt the other fellow without, well, I'm not going to say without cause. I just feel like they're wrong. What do you think about it? Praise the Lord. And if he'll speak to us, Lord of the God, that our conversation will minister grace to the hearer. That we'll speak, as Paul said in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So we all come in the union of faith. Glory to God, I think we're going to find God. I remember telling him, and I reached in for a certain city, Louisiana, after the general body had merged, and we were running into difficulties and getting Louisiana with the two organizations merged together. And I had been traveling south, south, some of the councils, five states, and I traveled throughout that district, a good deal of it, and done everything I could in teaching and preaching for the merger. I said it was of God. I know it's of God now. And we've been down there, we're going back home, and we were discussing the different problems of the merger conference that was to be called. And I said, Brother Heyman, I'll tell you. I said, I'm for this merger of everything I've got. I believe in unity of the devil. I knew there were problems. I knew there were differences in opinion concerning some doctrinal issues. And I didn't mind to be frank and to say what my convictions were. And I have the same conviction now I have then. And I don't think they'll ever be changed because I believe they're based on the scriptures. Glory to God. And I told him, I said, I don't know. I hope I'm not wrong. I don't believe I am, but I'm for it. I've done all I can for it. I'm going to continue to do it. Glory to God. And so he said, well, he spoke up and said, plant of meditation. We were riding home before he was driving. He looked at me and said, well, brother Wise, there's one thing we can be sure of. And always know we're right. And that's when we are working for unity among those people, we can know that we are right. But if that is true, beloved, then, glory to God, when we are working for disunity, get that out of chapter 13. When we are working for, we are tail-bearing, we're contentious and hoping disunity, we are certainly beyond the shadow of doubt out of the will of God. Amen. Glory to God. And so this morning, I was just reading Acts from the platform this morning. It seemed like there was a scripture came to mind, the 11th verse of Jude. The 11th verse of Jude. And I've studied those things pretty extensively. And I tell you, it just makes me afraid to criticize my brethren at all, believe. It makes me afraid to criticize anybody unless I know what I'm doing. And then if I've got criticism, I better go and talk to them and criticize them to their face. We've got some character assassins in the land. And I believe that a character assassin is just almost as evil
as an assassin, that would assassin you with a safe truth. He can do you, or give you more harm in some way. And God help us to love one another, glory to God, and forgive one another as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. God has forgiven us a whole lot more than we can ever forgive ourselves. God was merciful when we were sinners and rebellious and stubborn and disobedient, vile, full of iniquity. God, for Christ's sake, forgave us and filled us with the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Paul, don't you? Well, if God was merciful to me and forgave me, then I could forgive the other folks. And I'm going to tell you that when we let bitterness and anger and wrath get in our heart and we're talking with those conditions, we're just as certain to explode or blow our top and say things we'll either ask forgiveness for or we'll lose out with God as we do. We better weigh our rules and try to determine what effect they're going to have. Are they going to make for unity? Are they going to make for the glory of God? Or are they going to do the opposite? Praise God. Now, woe unto them, that people that are murmurs and complainers, grumblers, if you please. Hey. They're born in the way of Cain, because Cain, or Abel rather, didn't do what Cain wanted to, he rose up and slew it. And ran greedily after the heir of David. For we fell and perished in the game staying off course. And let me tell you today, beloved, there's a lot of people, some places that I thought they could mention, that if they're not careful, they're going to perish in the game staying off course. I remember in times past, I was a piece of faith for some 20 odd or more years. I remember different times. Brethren had fought out with some of our faces. And they just wanted to throw out on the air. Maybe they were more wrong than their faces were. I remember some of them saying, "Go back to the law. You're a good brethren. I love them. They're afraid." But some of them came to me and helped me. As to, I don't know what you call it, politics or work against, whatever you want to call it, men that had been elected by a two-thirds majority of our ministry and delegates voted to drop to carry on the work of God, they were my superiors. Finally, I told them, I said, "Listen, I don't just agree with everything they do. I said they were elected by a two-thirds majority of the ministry to run this thing. And I said two-thirds majority of the ministry delegates in conference elected me to cooperate with that man and help him to carry on the work of God. And just as long as they elect him and me, as they have in past, just that long I'm going to cooperate with him. I'm going to hold his hand up. If I think he's wrong, I'll tell him about it." And I did it. But I told him I didn't tell that at all. Glory to God. And beloved, listen today. God has raised these men up over us, and I believe it's our common duty to do what we can to help them to hold up their hands in order to carry this work on to where that you and I can have a home, a spiritual home. Glory to God, where we can be free and worship God and preach our convictions. Hallelujah. And do our best to get men and women saved. I feel like a lot of times that we're concerned about lost souls as we all have it on our way to have more desire than we do.
I remember when this letter first came out.
God arranged. We had a lot of trouble in our district. The men went over those parts. And I was being good here and there. Put them up. You should do this. Don't you put up church. Do this, do that, and the other. And it just got so hot, so I just got in my turn. I drove to the litter, and I got in the office of the motocross, and I sat down, and we discussed that thing. And neither one of us had the answer. Someone that came out on the edge. If we'd have done it that time, we'd have lost several good people. I kind of told Brother Glass, I said, Brother Glass, let me tell you. I said, when I find the will of God, I'm ready to move. But I'm not moving a peg until I know the will of God. And it went on that way for several months. By and by, the time came that we heard from God and we moved and we didn't lose a good man at the cross. God bless you. And those that we did lose, beloved, that was that they had to feel in their heart to start with. Good of the God. And I want to know that they have certainly not come to a good end by any means yet. When we know the Bible now, you can depend on it, God's will. But when we don't know the Bible now, use our own snap judgment and jump at conclusions and do things rashly. That, may I say this? I don't want to go to you, but I'm going to say this. That is one of the dangers, brethren, of electing young men that are not seasoned by experience and knowledge on the district board. Come in this street, some old men that seasoned, pioneers that suffered, and suffered and suffered. I can say this because I don't have to have enough. I'm out of it. I'm through this. Young men put on that don't have the seasoning and don't have the experience. And they're ready to pop the hood, if you please. Just pack the hood. I'm ready. Without due consideration, without seeking the will of God, and so forth. When you sit old men on the bench and put young men in like that, you're inviting trouble in a lot of people. Now you certainly are. That's not God's plan at all. You hear me this morning. Praise the Lord. So may God help us five times up. But remember that we better be careful when we speak and be sure that when we speak, we're speaking words that will be seasoned with grace. And if we're not drunk, you can be drunk and don't have to have thus said which to be drunk. The court has ruled now that they're not intoxicated, but I know it is. Unless they say that the lot since I used to drink it some 4 or 2 or 3 more years ago. Because I can't drink drunk, I'd have set my grandmother in that cell. That's right. And you can be drunk, you don't have to drink beer. You don't have to drink whiskey, you don't have to drink wine. We don't. We can be drunk on our own way. And our own desires, and do and say things that will miss God and have to ask forgiveness if we want to get right with God. So God help us to weigh our words and be sure that our conversation is such, our will is such, what we say on the floor of the convention is such. Good to God that He will minister grace to the hearers, and not that I've had people saying so. And tell me, yes, they've been to a conference. I used to just hesitate and was reluctant to advise any of my saints to go to a conference, this conference, a general conference. Because so many times they were hurt. I didn't think preachers would do that. I didn't think preachers would act like that. And they were made to stumble over the thing. And we need brethren to be sober. We need to be grave. We need to be temperate. And consider not just what I want, but what effect is it going to have on that 2 saints back there, that week, and maybe I haven't had just a faith in Christ.
that thinks everybody really does want that has the baptism holy. When I preached to see the Holy Ghost, I thought everything. That thing that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost is already almost ready to sprout in you, your pragmatic expression, and fly away to glory. And he'd like to kill me. I tell you, that coming there called me the backslide as anything I've ever had to have with me. I found out that some people profess that, and they could get mad and so mad they could fight in the air and yet say they had the Holy Ghost. I don't think they will that. Why, some preachers can get mad and blow their top and just eat you out blood raw, even without any salt or pepper, and say, Spirit, I want you to know they've got no business trying to control the house of God. If we can't hold our tongue and let our conversation, our words, be such glory to God that will minister grace to their hearers and will run into gainsaying. What was the gainsaying of Paul? He had iniquity in his heart. He rejected the word of God. He rejected God. Moses said, God told Moses, said, they have rejected you, they rejected me. That is going to say, and he denied the body of Moses. And you know what happened? He has opened him out and swallowed him down into the pit. And we've got to be careful if we keep going to the pit. We've got to be careful in criticizing and trying to hurt and destroy the influence of those that God has set over us to our own glory to God. We need to love them. They need our prayer. I know what I'm talking about. That if there's anybody on earth that needs our prayer, our sympathy, and our help, it is our official in our organization. From the lowest rank to the highest rank, every one of us need our understanding, help, and cooperation, our prayer, and our fellowship, glory to God, and help in every way we can help them. God bless you, my friend.